All right, turn back to Matthew 10 for a few moments. Let me read this couple of verses again so they'll be fresh on your mind when I ask a question. Our Lord said in Matthew 10, verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, before this world, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me, refuse to confess me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." What is it to confess Christ? To confess Christ. What is it to confess Christ? Well, it begins right here. It begins right here. "With a heart man believeth unto salvation, unto righteousness. With the mouth confession made to salvation." But you can't confess with your mouth what you don't believe in your heart. This is where it starts. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." But the heart believes, the mouth confesses. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So here's where it starts. To confess Christ is to believe God. It's not to believe there is a God. It's not even to believe in God. It's to believe God. Now turn with me to Genesis 15, just a moment. Genesis chapter 15. It's to believe God. Abraham is held up before us as our example of faith. He's called the father of believers. And so we look back here to Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. Verse 4, 5, and 6. And here is Abraham and God. No one else. There's no revival meeting, no preacher, no witnesses, just God and Abraham. God and Abraham. The man whom God called my friend. Abraham's alone with God. And the Lord God in Genesis 15, 4 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, This shall not be thine heir, not your servant, Eliezer, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels." You're 100 years old, your wife's 90, but you're going to have a son, Isaac. He'll be your heir. "And God brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heavens. Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He said to him, So shall thy seed be. And he," Abraham, he believed God. He believed God. He believed God's word. He believed what God said. He believed God. When God spoke, he believed him. He believed him. So, to confess Christ, first of all, is to believe him. To believe his word. Now turn over to Romans chapter 4. And talks about Abraham here. He believed God and he believed his word. And in Romans chapter 4, it says in verse 20, "He staggered not at the promise of God." What a promise. Here stands an old man with an old wife past the age of having children, with no seed, no family. And God said, "You're going to have a son out of your own bowels. Will come forth an heir, and from Sarah." And Abraham believed God. He believed him. He believed his word. And he didn't stagger at the awesomeness of the promise, the greatness of the promise, when God promises us the forgiveness of sins. All sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's awesome. But that's what God said. That we have before him acceptance, that we're holy, unblameable, unreprovable in Christ. That's awesome. but it's God's word. That heaven awaits us, resurrection and glory, to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, that's awesome. There's no strength or power within us to produce such a grand and glorious accomplishment. And yet, God's word. And Abraham didn't stagger through unbelief. But listen, verse 20, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You give glory to God when you believe God. Believe him, believe his word, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised. And where are the promises of God? In Christ. All the promises of God are in Christ. Yes, yes, so be it. Amen. He didn't stagger. He was fully confident, persuaded that what God said, God was able to perform. Able. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed his word. And he believed Christ. All of this is in the Redeemer. It can't be accomplished without the Redeemer. It can't be accomplished except through the Redeemer. It can't be ours except in the Redeemer. There's a law to be honored. There's justice to be satisfied. There's a debt to be paid. There's God's wrath to be appeased. There's holiness to be worked out. And it has to be a Redeemer. Abraham believed God. He believed God's word. He believed God was able to do what he said. And he believed the one in whom God would do it and through whom God would do it. Because our Lord said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. My day, the day of the Messiah, the day of Christ, the day of the Redeemer, the day of incarnation, the day of God's visitation to this earth in human flesh. Abraham saw that day. He rejoiced to see it. And he was the first man in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, to mention the Lamb. That's right. First man. We have the law of first mention. And I know there were lambs slain and sacrifices offered, but Abraham's the first person recorded to say something about using the word Lamb, the Lamb of God. He and Isaac, God had told him to take Isaac up to the mountain and sacrifice him. And Abraham told the young men that went with he and Isaac on that 3-day journey to the mountain, Mount Moriah. He said, you all wait down here with the burros, and the lad and I are going up to worship God. We're going up to worship God. We're going up to call on the name of God. We're going up to come into the presence of God. And he took the wood and put it on the back of Isaac and the fire and started up the mountain. And Isaac turned to him and said, my father, we're going up to worship God. Where's the lamb? There's no worshiping God or coming to God or being received of God without a sacrifice, a lamb, the blood. And that's when Abraham said, Isaac said, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide the lamb up here. And God will provide the lamb on the Calvary's cross. And God will provide himself. He'll be the lamb. And God will provide himself, the lamb, as a sacrifice to himself. It's all in him. That's Christ, my boy. That's what he's saying. That's Christ. And lamb, the Lamb of God, all the way through the Bible, means the same thing. That Abraham labeled it right there. God will provide himself the Lamb. That's what this confessed Christ starts right here. Right here. And then secondly, to confess Christ is to be identified with his gospel, with his people. That's what we've been reading about here in Matthew 10, to be identified with Christ and his people. People who profess him, people who love him. is to walk with his people. It's like Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Thy people be my people. Thy God, my God. Where you live, I live. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, that's where I'll be buried. I want to be identified with you, your God, and your people, that God's people. And that's what Paul said to young Timothy over in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said to young Timothy, and this is what our Lord said over there. I was reading Matthew 10 a moment ago, and about being ashamed of him. He says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now this world hates the gospel of Christ. That's what causes the division. It's not us they hate, it's our gospel. And because they hate our gospel, they hate you. People had no reason to hate Christ. He went about doing good. Healed the sick, fed the hungry, raised the dead. Went about doing good. But it's what he said. I and my Father are one. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. I'm the bread of life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. He that believeth not on me shall not see life. Oh, I'm the Redeemer. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. Salvation through my blood. That's what they hated. Hated that gospel. And Paul says to young Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Here I am in prison. Don't be ashamed to be identified with God's people. With God. With his gospel. With his word. With his people. With his servants, with his preachers, with those who are being persecuted. Look at verse 12, 2 Timothy 1. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed to him, my soul, my redemption, my all, against that day. There's a tendency when we're around highly educated people, powerful politically, powerful people, important folks, religious folks, we're intimidated, perhaps. And we're a little careful about coming out and saying what we believe, whom we believe. But don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be ashamed of those who preach the gospel. And then he said in verse 16 of this same chapter, 2 Timothy 1, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. And he wasn't ashamed of my chains. This man, Onesiphorus, Paul was a disciple of Christ, an apostle of Christ, a preacher of this glorious gospel of God's grace. And here was this man, Onesiphorus. I don't know who he was. But Paul said, I tell you this, he wasn't ashamed of me, and he wasn't ashamed of my gospel, and he wasn't ashamed of my chain. He identified himself with me. Identified himself. And that's what Paul said over here in 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over there and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He gives the mark of the elect. You know, I said, first of all, to confess Christ is to believe Christ in the heart. And then to confess Christ by being identified with the people of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, Paul said, verse 4, listen. 1 Thessalonians 1. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, in heart, in life-changing power, as you know what manner of men we were among you, and you became followers of us and the Lord. You weren't ashamed of us. You became one of us. You became a follower. That's the very next thing. Having received the word in much affliction, you want a part in the afflictions of the gospel. If this man's going to take heat for believing the gospel, I won't take the same heat. If these people are going to be, if you're going to despise them, you despise me too. If you're going to despise God's servant and what he preaches, and my pastor, you despise me too. That's what he's talking about. You became followers of us and the Lord. And you took part in the afflictions of the gospel. Don't curse my Lord and brag on me, because we're one. That's to confess Christ. And then thirdly, to confess Christ is to walk with Christ in obedience and integrity. Honest in integrity, in a godly walk in this world. Wherever you are, let it be known you're a son of the King, a daughter of the King. 1 John, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. You know, somebody said one time, a man may be an honest man, not be a believer. But a man can't be a believer and not be an honest man. There are plenty of honest men, you know, outwardly honest. They're reliable. Their word is their bond. They brag about that. My word's my bond. Well, it ought to be. But there are a lot of men like that that aren't believers in Christ. But there are no believers in Christ that are not honorable, honest, and truthful. They just are. Because if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Listen, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with the Father and the Son. And the blood of God's Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, listen. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, well, he's a liar. The truth's not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk as he walked. A man may be honest and truthful man and not be a believer, but a man cannot be a believer and treat people miserably. Can't do it. He is honest. He is truthful. God's made a change in his attitude and heart and walk. And then to confess Christ, it's to confess Christ in here, in heart, spirit, and soul first. And then it's to confess Christ by identifying with the things of Christ. And then it's to confess Christ by walking, as Enoch walked with God, to walk with God. And then to confess Christ is to continue to confess him. Did you notice that verse 22 back there in Matthew 10? He that endureth, he said verse 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my sake. But he that endureth to the end of what? The end of this life, shall be saved. And over in Colossians 1, listen to this. Colossians 1. And we've experienced people making professions and joining the church and claiming to believe the gospel. And then we've experienced people even preaching the gospel. And now they not only don't preach it, they don't even worship God. They don't even identify with the people of God. They don't even go to the house of God on the Lord's Day. Well, such are not confessing Christ. It says here in Colossians 1, verse 21, and you that were one time alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you. He's going to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight if you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away for any reason, whatever the reason. Somebody came along that looked better than Jesus, I guess. Something came along that was better than life, I guess. Someone came along, or something came along, or an opportunity came along that was more important than knowing him. That can't be, because there's no one as important as he. No one more beloved. My beloved is altogether lovely. What's your beloved more than any other beloved? Well, if you've got a year and a half, I'll tell you. Or a lifetime, I'll try to tell you. Me be drawn away from Christ, his people, his gospel. Walk out here in this world without hope, without God, without Christ, without peace, without rest, without joy. God help us. How could that be so? Having tasted the word of life, having walked with him, leave him? It's impossible. It's impossible. It can't be done. That's where John explained it. He said, I tell you why they left. They never were of us. I tell you why they don't confess him now. They never did confess him. I tell you why they don't worship him now. They never did worship him. I tell you why they don't praise him now. They never did pray. I tell you why they don't preach the gospel now. They never did. He said they went out from us, that it might be clear that they never were of us. Because if they had been of us and of him and in him, they'd have never departed. Impossible. And then fifthly, what is it to confess Christ? It's to confess Christ in baptism. You see, this is the way the believers in the New Testament confess Christ. They followed the Lord in baptism. I have searched in vain through the Word, and I can't find any scriptures that indicates that anyone ever came to the front of a building to confess Christ. I can't find anywhere that anyone came to a designated altar to seek the Lord, find God. I can't find anywhere in any of these glorious revivals under the apostles' preaching where they call for the raising of people's hands. Nor did I see in this word anywhere them giving someone the sinner's prayer. I'm preaching on the sinner's prayer tonight, but nobody told him what to say. That was spontaneous. That came out of it. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God, be merciful. I can't find anywhere anyone signing a card or going before Board of Elders are going to an inquiry room. But I find people confessing Christ in baptism. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Listen. Here's when Peter preached the gospel of Christ at Pentecost. And the feature of Pentecost was not the wind nor the tongues. It was the gospel of Christ. The glorious good news that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, verse 38, repent and be baptized. And down in verse 41, when they heard, when they believed, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. See that? Acts chapter 8, turn over there a minute. And I could go all the way through the book of Acts, and I'm not going to take the time to do that. You know this is true. Acts 8, verse 12. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed, this is so important that we get this in its proper order. When they believed, Philip. What was Philip doing? Preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. And in Acts 16, Lydia was baptized, a Philippian jailer. Well, this is the way that New Testament believers confess Christ, baptism. And let me tell you this, only believers were baptized. Did you notice? Then they that received his word, believed his word, were baptized. And those who heard Philip preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and the things of Christ, they were baptized. The Bible doesn't teach adult baptism. It teaches believers baptism. There's no age set. But brother man, how old should a person be? Old enough to answer this question for himself. And an infant can't answer it. Old enough to answer this question. I preached on it recently. The eunuch seeking the Lord, riding along in the chariot, reading Isaiah, reading essential things about the Messiah. Philip got up, sent by God, preached Christ to him, preached the gospel to him. How long they rode, I don't know. But he preached the gospel. And then they came to a body of water, and the eunuch said to Philip, having heard the word, having believed the word, having heard of Christ and believed Christ, he said, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Here's what, may I be baptized? Philip said, you may, if you believe with all your heart. You believe this God. You believe God. You believe his word. You believe Christ. Abraham believed God. He believed his word. He believed Christ. You believe these things. You may. Do you? Can you answer that question? Do you believe that he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop this chariot. Well, how are believers baptized? They're baptized as our Lord was baptized. Turn to Matthew 3. They're baptized as our Lord was baptized. Here's the scripture. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Matthew 3:13. John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And our Lord answering said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord was circumcised to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord did everything the Jews required, God required of the Jews throughout the whole Old Testament to fulfill all righteousness. And here our Lord comes to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He's representing us. He does what God has commanded. Then he suffered him. Now watch. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him. How was he baptized? In a river. By immersion. Came up out of the water. How was the eunuch baptized? Well, look at John 3. Turn to John 3. How did John the Baptist baptize people? John chapter 3, verse 23. Look at this scripture. John 3, 23. And John was baptizing in Enon. John 3, 23. Near to Salem. Why was he baptizing there? Because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. You need much water for a baptismal service. This won't do. A fount won't do. You need much water. That's the reason John hunted a river. Baptism's a burial. How was the eunuch baptized? Well, you know, you heard me preach from this. And they both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water.
And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, Philip was taken away. Turn to Romans 6. Let me, baptism, here's what it is. Romans 6. This will give you a lot of understanding, a lot of light. It's a baptism, a burial, death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6, 1. God forbid. How shall that we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? He died. He was buried. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what baptism is. And when people who confess Christ are baptized, they're saying, when he died, I died. When he was buried in a tomb and a stone rolled over it, buried. And one day the stone rolled away and he came out. Glorified. I died. And here I'm showing with him, I was buried, and I'm rising to walk in newness of life. I belong to Christ. The old man's dead, put away, buried. See, this is what the Pharisees had trouble with. Let me show you this, and I'll quit. In Luke chapter 7, this is the reason John's baptism gave them fits. It's a baptism of repentance. Baptism, we're saying in baptism, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die. Christ died. He took my judgment. I deserve to be buried out of sight, put away, and be raised to walk with Christ in newness of life. This old sinner is not fit to live. We need a new creature. That's what I'm confessing. Well, that's what John's baptism was. In Luke 7, verse 29, and all the people that heard John, publicans, Justified God. Yeah, they said, God, what you say about us is true. Your condemnation of us is true. We justify you. When you speak, you're right. Being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees, the religious people, the lawyers, what were they rejecting? They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. They said, we're not sinners. We be not born of fornication. We're not subject to death. No, we reject that. And so they would not be baptized of John. That's what baptism is. His death was under the judgment of God for my sin. And that's what baptism represents. His resurrection is our resurrection. I'm crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, risen with Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this serious. It's confessing Christ in baptism is saying to this whole world that I belong to him. I'm his. I confess him in here, my mouth, my walk, my association, my identification. I belong to him. You ever been to a restaurant under new management? We're under new management. Got a new owner. Belong to him.